Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 22 to close at 20,896. S&P 500 down 3 at 2,390. NASDAQ Composite up 5 at 6,121. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 7 at 1382. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 7 basis points at 2.34%. Oil down a penny at $47.82 per barrel. Gold up $2.90 at $12.2870 per ounce. Dow Industrials and S&P 500 both snapped a streak of 3 weeks of gains today, closing lower for the session and the week, while the NASDAQ finished higher for a fourth week of gains. For the week, the Dow dropped a half a percentage point. The S&P 500 ended the week down 0.4%. The NASDAQ posted a weekly gain of 0.3%. Kind of a quiet week all in all. After months of bashing China for its trade practices, the Trump administration said it had agreed with Beijing on a broad range of measures aimed at improving access of American beef producers, electronic payments providers, and nat gas exporters, among others. The U.S. has been lobbying for China to open up its markets to American beef for years. It was banned back in 2003 after a mad cow disease scare. The perception among some businessmen in the country has been that the Chinese have been sitting on the beef issue until the U.S. agreed to buy cooked poultry products made in China. Other measures include credit card payment companies trying to move into Chinese electronic payment platforms, credit ratings agencies looking to expand their presence in China, and the big agriculture firms are going to try to get genetically modified seeds to be reviewed by Chinese ag officials. No sales yet, just consideration. General Electric's chief executive, Jeffrey Immelt, today praised Mexico as a big part of its future growth, said the company is very supportive of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. GE plans to double its purchases from Mexican suppliers next year. That, according to a statement from the office of Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto. Immelt told Mexican officials at the inauguration of an expansion of GE's operations in Monterrey, "We're optimistic about Mexico. We're very supportive of NAFTA." General Electric announced that it had won a contract to supply 2 new gigawatts of power in Mexico and had also signed a separate $120 million multi-year deal to provide service to gas and steam turbines in Mexican power plants. Consumer prices rebounded as expected in April as the cost of gasoline rose. The Consumer Price Index, a basket of consumer goods that reflects price changes at the retail level, rose 0.2% from March. Compared to the prior year, CPI rose by 2.2%. Higher gasoline and heating gas costs helped lift the index. Used cars, clothes, and medical care all declined from March. When the volatile cost of food and energy are excluded, core CPI increased 0.1% month-on-month and 1.9% year-on-year. That's a 19-month low. Good to know for everybody who doesn't consume energy or eat food. Inventories at U.S. businesses continued to pile up in March. Business inventories rose 0.2% in March. Commerce Department reported it was the fifth straight month of inventory gains. Business sales were flat in March. The inventory-to-sales ratio, that would be an indication of demand, remained steady at 1.35 in March. Consumer sentiment brightened in an early May reading as Americans turned more bullish on their income expectations. The University of Michigan's confidence gauge jumped to 97.7 from 97 in April. The survey's tracker of current conditions was unchanged at 112.7, but the expectations gauge rose more than a point to 88.1 from 87. Consumer spending intentions were mixed. Plans to buy household durables were the strongest in a decade, while plans to buy a vehicle were at a three-year low. Americans' views are still sharply divided by political affiliation. The American consumer is alive and well. Sales at U.S. retailers rose in April, and March sales were stronger than originally estimated. Retail sales increased 0.4% and were 4.5% higher compared to a year ago. A 0.2% monthly decline for March was revised up to show a 0.1% increase. Sales have now risen in three of the first 4 months of 2017. Sales at gasoline stations were 12.3% higher in April than a year ago as the cost of oil strengthened. With motor vehicles and gas stripped out, sales were up 0.3% after a 0.4% increase in March. JCPenney said in its earnings report that adjusted net income was 6 cents per share. On the surface, that appeared to be a big positive surprise, because analysts were expecting a loss of 21 cents per share, but the company snuck into its report that the adjusted number for the latest quarter includes the sale of operating assets. Specifically, the sale of one of its distribution centers totaled about $117 million. Strip that out because it is a non-recurring item, and the result was a first quarter loss. Same-store sales declined 3.5%. Investors were not fooled. The stock plummeted 14% to a record low close of $4.55. Dick's Sporting Goods disclosed an accounting error in a filing with the SEC. Dick's said a computation error caused it to overstate earnings in its fourth quarter and full-year results by more than $23 million, down today 4.5%. It's been a rough week for retailers. Nordstrom dropped 10.8% after weak quarterly same-store sales announced late yesterday. Macy's fell 3% today, bringing its loss to more than 19% in the past two sessions following its dismal quarterly report. Amazon is now the second largest U.S. apparel retailer, behind only Walmart, with Amazon taking share from department stores and Target as it rises in prominence. Nearly half of 1,000 adults surveyed in Morgan Stanley's latest AlphaWise survey, 46%, reported having bought clothing from Amazon in the past year. It's about the same percentage, 47%, said they expect to buy more clothes from Amazon and fewer clothes from other retailers in the next 12 months. Traditional retailers should be very cautious. When online sales hit 20% of all purchases in a given retail category, a surge in Amazon growth is sure to follow. The 20% level is a threshold indicating Amazon is going to displace a legacy retailer. 20% is when Amazon steps on the gas, when consumer behavior is changing. This pattern has held true for Amazon since the very first sector CEO Jeff Bezos disrupted, books, which passed the 20% mark between 2007 and 2008. Amazon's rapid expansion into a store for everything continued as online sales passed 20% for consumer electronics between 2010 and 2011, and cloud services, which Amazon dominated from the moment it launched Amazon Web Services in 2006. And each time, 20% sector penetration proved the tipping point. Well, it's the scandal that won't go away. Attorneys for victims of Wells Fargo fake account scam now saying that the bank may have been responsible for more unauthorized accounts than previously thought. In a legal filing, plaintiffs' attorneys in a class action lawsuit say, based on public information, negotiations, and confirmatory discovery, the parties estimate the number of unauthorized accounts for the period 2002 to 2017 is approximately 3.5 million. This number may well be over-inclusive, but provides a reasonable basis on which to estimate a maximum recovery. a huge cyber attack leveraging hacking tools widely believed to have been developed by the U.S. National Security Agency. The hack attack is spreading like a virus. Ransomware is scrambling data on computers, causing major IT disruptions. In England, the virus hit healthcare facilities. Routine appointments had been canceled. Ambulances were diverted. Hospitals and surgeries across England forced to turn away patients. People in affected areas were being advised to seek medical care only in emergencies. Scottish health boards also hit. Telecom giant Telefonica was among many targets in Spain, though it said the attack was limited to some computers on an internal network. Sweden's civil contingencies agencies put out a warning saying that a large-scale ransomware campaign is being carried out in a number of countries. FedEx said it was experiencing issues with some of its Microsoft Windows systems. At last count, the worm had infected computers in 99 countries, and it is still growing. It's believed that a Russian hacking group known as Shadow Brokers pilfered the worm and other hacking tools from the National Security Agency's servers. The actual ransomware is a worm called WannaCry. If you see that file, do not click. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has made it official. The federal government will now reboot its war on drugs. The official word came down in the form of memos from Sessions that ordered federal prosecutors to cease and desist on the soft approach former Attorney General Eric Holder took toward prosecuting petty drug offenders. Now prosecutors must demand the harshest sentence, must use the threat to pile on sentence enhancements to browbeat drug offenders into copping a guilty plea, and they must itemize the drugs an offender uses to ensure they are slapped with the minimum mandatory sentence. Sessions isn't just talking about cracking down on the use of the hard stuff. He's directing law enforcement to get tough on pot as well. Reactions from criminal justice reform circles have been unanimous, from lawmakers and law enforcement leaders to advocacy groups and criminologists. Prosecutors and law enforcement leaders reacted with dismay to Sessions' memo. Law Enforcement Leaders to Reduce Crime and Incarceration, an organization of nearly 200 current and former police chiefs, sheriffs, and prosecutors, called the move an ineffective way to protect public safety. Dow Industrials down 22 to close at 20,896. S&P 500 down 3 at 2390. NASDAQ up 5 at 6121. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.